Today with Joseph Prince.
Power is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so excited to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ again and again because you know what? We're still discovering the magnitude of what the Father has in His heart when He gave us this gospel. And this gospel came at a very dear cost to Him. Amen. He gave up His Son. There was no other way for God to save us. We need to preach the gospel where the righteousness of God as a gift is revealed. And that's the gospel that releases the power of God that transforms people's lives. Praise the Lord for all those great testimonies. And God is continuing to work miracles of transformation, breakthroughs, healings in the lives of multitudes all over the world. We have so many testimonies coming in that we can hardly have time to really read them all. But, you know, keep them coming in, amen, because we put them on our praise reports on josephprince.com. You can go there and read them at your leisure because it's such a faith-building exercise just to go through all those testimonies of real-life people who have encountered the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the good news that we have for a lost and dying world. We have this gospel. Gospel means good news. And the good news is it's not that God is mad at you. God is out to get you. And somehow, even today, people are having that impression that God is out to judge them. God is a God, you know, of wrath, of anger, of judgment. Listen, God has wrath. God has anger. But the Bible says towards us who are believers in Him, He has exhausted all His wrath on the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, our sacrifice, our sin offering on that cross. And Jesus, God planned it to be so that God can righteously forgive us of all our sins through the cross, because the cross of Jesus Christ has glorified God to such an extent that all His attributes have been fully satisfied, that He justifies us and He does it righteously. Amen. We're not made righteous by God's mercy. His mercy is involved in this gospel plan, but we are made righteous with His righteousness, according to righteousness. Those are judicial terms. Amen. So you and I today who believe on Christ, we are made righteous. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ that the world needs to hear. Amen. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And the word salvation there in the Greek is the word soteria, which is actually the word, which is an all-inclusive word that includes healing, wholeness. It's not just safe from eternal death. It's not just safe from the lake of fire. It's not just safe from condemnation, but it's saved in the areas of all the fall of man that came in as a result of sin. And salvation includes all that. Because there are times you find that the verb form of soteria is used when Jesus heals someone. Like He spoke to the woman, the issue of blood who got healed. It says, Jesus said to her, your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you in some translations. But in the Greek, your faith has sozoed you. Sozo is the verb of soteria. So the power of God is released for your healing, for your well-being. And also the word prosper, amen, is also in that word soteria. It's well-being for your entire person, amen. Well-being for you and your family. Praise the Lord. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It saves you spiritually, amen. That's the part of us that's born again. And then it saves us in our mind, in our emotions, amen. We know that today we have people that are so depressed because especially with the pandemic, there's a rise of people suffering from depression, people suffering from all kinds of mental disorders, and all because they do not know how to handle this fallout from the pandemic. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ saves you in that area. It saves you mentally, amen, in your emotions, hallelujah. It makes you whole, whole emotionally. It makes you mentally at poise, you know, in equanimity, amen. Perfect peace garrisons your heart and mind, the Bible says. And then it saves your body. And that's healing. Until we see Jesus face to face and get our glorified body, our bodies right now needs healing. Amen. And we'll need healing until we see him face to face. And the gospel includes that. It's all in that word. The power of the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that power. Why? Because in that gospel, the power of God is released. Amen. Unto what? Salvation. Unto your wholeness, unto your well-being. Saving you, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Saving you in all your circumstances that has fallen under the curse. Amen. To save you from all that. So that you are in the world, but you are not of the world. Amen. You can walk separated. You can walk holy. Amen. Separated from all that has fallen on this earth because of the curse that came in through Adam's sin. Amen. The Bible says God wants to save us from all that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's that power is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so excited to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ again and again, because you know what? We're still discovering the magnitude of what the Father has in his heart when he gave us this gospel. And this gospel came at a very dear cost to him. Amen. He gave up his son. There was no other way for God to save us. We've all sinned. And someone needs to die for our sin. Amen. And that someone cannot be someone who is also sinful, because if he's sinful, he needs someone to die for him. Amen. But you need someone who is sinless. And the Bible says Christ, in him is no sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. And he became sin on the cross. Why? In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made Jesus on that cross to be sin for us. Amen. He was made sin. He didn't sin. He was made sin with our sins. So God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, you and I, might be made. Notice, it's not that we perform righteousness, that we become righteous, but that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the divine exchange took place at the cross. Jesus took all my sins and your sins. He became sin on that cross. He who knew no sin, did no sin, in him is no sin, became sin on that cross, so that you and I, who knows no righteousness, and we are not able to perform enough righteousness, amen, to equal God's standard, amen, as portrayed in the Ten Commandments, amen. We cannot perform enough. So we who know no righteousness, because he became our sin on the cross, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, like what I was quoting just now, Paul was saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Let's go on and look at what Paul is saying about the gospel. For in that gospel, if you want to know the true gospel, well, the true gospel, please stand up. We hear all kinds of things that's passed off as a gospel today. That's not the gospel. People say, bless God, that's the gospel truth. Well, from what I hear, it is not the gospel truth. The gospel truth must have all these characteristics that Paul says about the gospel that he preached. Amen. There are times he calls it my gospel because God revealed it to him. Hallelujah. You know, the apostles, they saw what happened to Jesus on the cross, but they were not able to see the reality behind what was happening. They saw physically, they saw with their eyes, what happened to him. They saw his sufferings. They saw him die. But they didn't know that he was made sin on that cross, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that revelation was given to the Apostle Paul. So Paul received the full revelation of what happened at the cross. Amen. And what happened in the resurrection. Hallelujah. But notice, I was saying just now, what is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot compromise on this. What is the true gospel that we are supposed to preach that releases the power of God unto salvation, unto wholeness, unto healing? What is that gospel? It goes on to say, for in that gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Amen. What is revealed? The sinfulness of man? Yes, man is sin. Amen. But in the gospel of Christ, it doesn't a focus on man's sin. That is a given. That's why we need a savior, because we have sinned. But the focus of the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, in it, what is revealed? The righteousness of God is revealed. And the righteousness of God, my friend, is a gift. None of us can perform enough, do enough, amen, and to ever become the righteousness of God. So the righteousness of God is given as a gift, as in Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So righteousness is a gift. It is a gift. It is a gift. How that sounds so good, amen, on my lips to say it. Gift. It's a gift of righteousness. But have you received it? And the Bible says those who receive it, they will reign in life. Not after life, amen. Reign in life in this world and in the world to come through Jesus Christ. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we need to preach the gospel where the righteousness of God as a gift is revealed. And that's the gospel that releases the power of God that transforms people's lives. I want to read to you a testimony that came in. And this is a brother from the States. And he shares this. I was delivered from a 20-year addiction to pot smoking by proclaiming I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I've been preaching for years now that if you are suffering some sinful habit that you can't seem to break free from, or some addiction that you're not delivered from and you're still continuing it, the best way to be out of it is to confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, because that's the reality. That's how God has made you to be. In the midst of your bondage, confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. We are always to confess. The Christianity is known as the great confession in the early days. The way of righteousness. Amen. The way to God. Praise the Lord. And it is always a proclamation. It is always a confession. And our confession is that in the midst of contrary symptoms, contrary signs, and what appears to be reality, there is a truth beyond that reality. Friends, facts are facts, but facts may have an expiry date to it. Amen. It is not true that the chair that I see right down here will last forever. It is not true. It is a fact. It's there now. Amen. But there's a truth that outlasts the fact. And God's word is not about facts. It's about truths. Amen. It goes beyond the facts. Facts can be temporal. Amen. But truth can change the facts. Some things that were facts some time ago is no longer a fact today. Amen. It has disappeared. Some animals have gone from the scene. Amen. There are facts. They were facts at that time, the facts of reality. But you know what? That reality is temporary. But we are dealing with things that are eternal. Amen. It is effected now, and then it lasts for eternity. Those are the truths that Jesus talked about. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. So the more I share, in the midst of your sin, confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Guess what? People start seeing deliverance from pornography, from all kinds of addiction. And this brother talks about a 20-year addiction to pot smoking. And he says, I was delivered from a 20-year addiction to pot smoking by proclaiming, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I felt ridiculous saying it, but out of desperation, I decided to do it by faith. After hearing all the testimonies, after a few weeks, I was delivered from my addiction without any withdrawal symptoms or desire to smoke again. You see, true holiness, my friend, real transformation is not stopping something, but in your heart, you still crave for it. It is even being delivered from the desire for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says he's delivered not only from the addiction, but even from the desire to smoke again. This was a miracle because I was never able to quit even after many attempts. I am now hooked on hearing the gospel of grace. I listen to Joseph Prince sermons daily, sometimes all night. I always felt like I had a gift to help people to sleep. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I thought that came through prayer. But anyway, my voice is soothing enough. Hallelujah. I am amazed at Jesus' love and grace. The addiction started in my 50s and I'm now in my 70s. So it's not only young people who can be freed from years of addiction. Thank you so much, Pastor Prince. I hope this testimony encourages someone. Amen. A brother from South Carolina, United States. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. But today I want to share with you something that along these lines, but you know, we look at a believer and we see a believer suffering depression and they are addicted to pornography or they have anger issues. And we know that all these are sins and they are supposed to be reigning over these things. Then we ask ourselves the question, what's happening, right? We know that the Bible says those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. The Lord said this to me, when you receive the gift of righteousness, when you receive the gift of righteousness, you have to act, amen, and even feel it in your emotions. Believe it to the point it affects your emotions. Act like it. If you say you have received the gift of righteousness, but you condemn yourself mentally, inwardly, you're always feeling guilty, you are conscious of sins, amen. It is no thanks to the giver when you are conscious of your sins. It's as if Jesus didn't do a good job at the cross. It's as if you're saying, God, I don't believe your word when you say that all my sins are put away at the cross. When you say you declare me righteous, because when Jesus rose again from the dead, he rose without my sins. Only a few days ago, he bore all my sins on that cross. But then when he rose again, he rose without them. That means all my sins were put away. And because of Jesus' resurrection, Your word declares that I have been declared righteous. In fact, that's what the Bible says, Romans 4. It says, who was delivered up because of our offenses, Christ was, and was raised up because of our being declared righteous. So if we were not declared righteous, Christ would not be raised up. That's the idea. Amen. But Christ was raised up because of our being declared righteous. And the next verse says, therefore, having been declared righteous, then by faith, we have peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God has sent Jesus to become the second Adam. We need to understand this, friend. Jesus came, though he is the Son of God, he did not come, listen carefully, he did not come to represent just God to man. That he is. Blessed be God. And what a manifestation of God, amen, that we see in Christ. But he came to become man, amen? The word became flesh and dwelt among us so that there'll be a new human race, not after the order of the first Adam, but after the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that everything that happens to the federal head of the race, all right, all the race will suffer whatever that federal head has done. If it's sin, then the sin comes upon all his race, upon all his generations. Amen. You cannot say, well, you know, I that's unfair, Pastor Prince. I don't like the way it works out. Listen, my friend, if your grandfather died when he was 3 years old, you won't be here today, right? Our lives are all intricately linked with our fathers and our grandfather, great-grandfather, all the way back to Adam. Amen. Sin is transferred also via the blood. Amen. And the human flesh. Amen. Every child is born in sin. Now, every child is innocent, but born in sin. Sin is in the blood. Amen. So we need salvation. We need to be saved. We need to be born again. So Jesus came to be the federal head of a new race. Hallelujah. And there's one translation that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new species. Amen. Christ came to be the head of a new species of human beings. Amen. One that God will find delight and joy in. Praise the Lord. Because this is his dream. Hallelujah. The first Adam, when he fell, all men fell in him. Likewise, the Bible says, by the obedience of one, we are all made righteous. Amen? All those who believe on Christ, we are made righteous. Notice again, the Bible says, by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, many are made righteous. So I'm not made righteous. You are not made righteous by your obedience, by my obedience. We are made righteous by one man's obedience. And who is that one man? Our Lord Jesus. Amen. So once we are conscious of that, this spiritual warfare, to keep your mind on this truth, because the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity Listen, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, it is not bringing every thought to obey Christ. You know, that is a never-ending cycle of defeat. I'm telling you that that will never work. But to bring every thought, warfare is to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, focus on His obedience. That takes you off yourself. Instead of being self-occupied, you are Christ-occupied. Instead of giving credit for yourself, for striving, for doing, you give all glory to Jesus who has done it all. Hallelujah. So you focus on His obedience. By one man's obedience, I am made righteous. Hallelujah. That's spiritual warfare. And that tells us the devil's device, Ha-Satan in Hebrew, his name, is actually a prosecutor at law. A prosecutor is it's a legal term. Even Satan's name is a legal term. Someone who prosecutes. Someone who's a prosecutor does not talk about your good points. Amen. I'm sure that, you know, every criminal that has been in the courts of justice, they have good points. I'm sure of that, of course. But the prosecutor's job is not to bring out his good points, but his bad points. So the devil's, Satan's job is not to bring out your good points, but to point to you your bad points, where you have fallen short, what you have not done. And if you've done something good even, it's not enough. It's not done enough. So you have this constant nagging, this constant sense of sin, constant sense of condemnation, this heaping of guilt on you. And you don't know where it comes from. And that's why the more self-focused you are, the more you are obsessed with the thought of, I've not done this, or I've done this in a bad way. I feel like kicking myself, or I shouldn't have done that. And you start thinking about the things that you should have done. You know, you are being self-occupied, you'll be depressed. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom who said, you know, look around you, you'll be distressed. Look within you, you'll be depressed. Look to Christ and be at rest. Amen. So every time we are focused on ourselves, we are declining into a spiral of depression, right? We are going deeper and deeper into this dark, you know, hole of depression. And a lot of people, they don't realize that it's all because of self-occupation. But how you get delivered from self? I mean, you start focusing on Jesus. It is not what you have done wrong. It's not what you have done right that is not enough. It is what Christ has done. So look away from self to Christ, amen, and focus on His obedience. His obedience was credited to your account. It is His obedience that has made you righteous. So if the devil comes to you, you say, go check Jesus out. You can find something wrong with His obedience, then come and talk to me, amen. Because you know what? God is no more dealing with me based on my obedience or my disobedience. I'm now in Christ, so check Him out. If you can find something wrong with Him, I'm done, all right? Can find nothing wrong with Him, then get. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says clearly, therefore, there is now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is now no condemnation at all. I like the New American Standard Bible because it brings out the word no. No condemnation at all. The word no there are a number of Greek words for no or negative or negation. But this word no is a powerful negative conjunction. And the word in the Greek is oudais. Oudais. But oudais is used when you are describing something where it leaves no exception. It shuts the door completely. There is no one or nothing at all. It shuts the door, leaves no exceptions, right? So, and it says, who dies condemnation, there is no condemnation whatsoever in any shape or form. Amen? No condemnation at all. Therefore, there is now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to pause here and just say this, that for you and I, we are in Christ Jesus. Now, the word Christ Jesus, you'll find Paul used this frequently in his writing, is always describing our Lord Jesus as He is today, post-resurrection. After He's gone to be with the Father, He's known in Paul's writings as Christ Jesus. Whereas when Paul addresses, or the apostles address Jesus when he was on earth, amen, before his death, burial, and resurrection, he's known as Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaNazari, Jesus of Nazareth. They know him as Jesus. Then Christ is his ministry, his calling. Amen. He came to be the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen. But when he rose from the dead, Christ comes first, Christ Jesus. So every time you see Christ Jesus, it's referring to Jesus as he is today at the Father's right hand, crowned with glory and honor, not Jesus Christ as he was when he was on earth, okay? But Christ Jesus. So we are now in Christ Jesus. When did that history happen? That God sees us and he never sees us, but always in Christ Jesus. When did that history happen? It happened at the cross. When Paul says, remember that, I have been crucified with Christ. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ. That's where you and I, our history in Christ Jesus happened. God put us in Christ, where? At the cross. Now, he didn't put us when he was a baby in Bethlehem. He didn't put us, you know, when he was walking by the shores of Galilee. He didn't put us in him then. He put us when he was at the cross. God put us in Christ. First of all, our old man. When God put us there, he put our old man there, right? Not referring to our father, okay? Our old man, our old nature. Amen. God put us there. And when Christ was crucified, we were crucified with him. When he died, we died in him. As far as God's concerned, all these are realities beyond facts. Amen. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, we were all risen in him. Amen. We rose with Jesus. The old nature is gone. The new has come. All things have passed away. We are now a new creation in Christ. And we rose in him. Hallelujah. We rose with him. Now we are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you this. If we were in Jesus Christ when he was on earth, it's good enough. Hallelujah. But no, it is on the enthroned, glorified Christ at the Father's right hand. When the Father said to him, sit on my right hand, you and I, we sat in him. Let me say this, okay? We need to understand that many of times we separate Jesus from ourselves in a sense that, oh, he's a son of God. God raised him because he's a son of God. That's why God raised him from the dead. But the Bible says, Jesus, having purged our sins, sat down. In other words, if he didn't do a successful job at purging our sins, at forgiving us of our sins, at doing a clean sweep of sins in our life, he cannot sit down, even though he's the Son of God, because he came as a man called to accomplish the Father's will, which is to die for us on the cross and to effect the new covenant in our lives. Amen. He has to fulfill that. He came as a man. So you and I have the comfort and the confidence now to come to God knowing that we have a man in glory. Friend, do you realize that? One of our own made it to the Holy of Holies. Amen. And he is there representing you and I. You know, even the word representing, even though it's true, but actually it's more than that. Is representation in the sense of like no other minister or member of parliament can represent. It's beyond that. It's as if you are in that member of parliament in court yourself. Amen. We are in him. So in that sense, it's a representation by being present in Christ. So when God looks at Jesus, God sees you. In other words, God will never see you apart from Christ. Someone says, you know, when God looks at us, it's like a ceiling over us and the ceiling is Christ. So he sees us through Christ. Even that illustration doesn't really cut it, you know, because the word in Christ Jesus, the best way I can say it is like, you know, we are completely ensphered. Yeah, that's the word, ensphered, you know, E-N-S-P-H-E-R-E, ensphere. It's like completely sphered. We are in a sphere, amen? Like you are in the deepest ocean and all around you, water over you, water under you, around you, permeating you. Amen. And you are in that, in Christ Jesus. That's how one you are with him. So when the Father looks at you, he sees you ensphered in Christ. Amen. And whatever Jesus has done, as far as the Father is concerned, you have done. The only thing that he did that you and I did not do, of course, is to remove our sins by virtue of his person. Amen. But after that, when whatever the Father did to him at the cross happened to us as well. When the Father raised him from the dead, we were raised with him. And that's our true identity. So in that context, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. How can there be? Ask yourself this question. Can Jesus ever be condemned? There is therefore now no condemnation for you and I in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, by the same token, if you read Romans 6 carefully, it says that even as Christ died to sin once and for all, right? And he rose from the dead. Likewise, in the same manner, reckon yourself. Amen. There's an accounting word there. All right. Consider yourself. Consider this fact that as Christ died to sin once and for all, you died to sin once and for all. Now, in what way did Jesus die to sin? Did Jesus die to committing sin? No. He never committed any sin. So, are we dead to committing sin? No. We can still can sin if we want to. Amen. That is not what Jesus died to sin is all about. Died to sin, he died to the condemnation and the imputation of sin. In other words, sin was imputed to man. When man sinned, God considers him a sinner, right? And condemnation is heaped on him. Which means on the heels of condemnation, there'll be sickness, there'll be any kind of curse that will come. Amen. But Christ took our condemnation on that cross so that today we are not in Jesus Christ, we are in Christ Jesus where he can never be condemned. Praise the name of Jesus. So in the way that he died to sin, what Jesus think of like, I need to die to sin, I need to die to sin today in heaven. Do you think he's saying, I need to die to sin? No, he died to sin one sin for all. How did he die to sin? He died in what way did he die to sin? He died to sin's condemnation. He died to sin's imputation. Sin can never be imputed to Jesus ever again. So likewise for you. You are in Christ. Jesus can never be condemned. Neither can you, because you are in Christ. That's how God sees you. One of our own made it. As far as God is concerned, all mankind is represented in this man. Now, I'm not teaching universalism here. I believe that everyone needs to make a personal decision to believe on Christ, to receive all that he has done for them, okay? And that's why we preach the gospel. If not, we can just let, you know, the whole world just like, because they'll all be safe anyway. No, no, no. That's error. That's heresy. No, friend. But as far as God is concerned, Jesus came to represent the entire human race. Now, the good of what he did can only be received by faith. Amen. That is where we need to preach the gospel and have people come into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. But as far as God's concerned, one of mankind has made it to the Holy of Holies. One of the human race has conquered Satan. Not as God, but as a man. For generations across the millennia, death came marching for every man until the day came that a man came hunting down death and destroyed it. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Jesus, sad hearts weep no more. He has healed the brokenhearted. Open wide the prison doors. He is able to deliver evermore. So first, before the deliverance, friend, before you see the freedom from the addiction, from that sinful habit, before you can have that transformation that you so desire, you need to believe there is now no condemnation. A lot of people, they receive condemnation in themselves. And I'm reminded of something the Lord told me as I was searching, like I said just now, last year especially, I was going into the area of like a lot of people who have heard this truth and those who have heard this truth, I see some of them, like many people, so many testimonies, they've been transformed, but there are some who are not transformed. And I really want to see 100% results. Of course, I know that human will comes in and all that, but I'm someone who's really hungry for all that God has for us. How about you? Amen? So I asked the Lord, and He didn't answer me immediately, but one day I was praying. I remember praying, and then I heard these words, very simple words, one line after another. It came into my spirit while I was praying. I had to get up from my prayer, grab a pen, and I go to my notebook and write down verbatim what I heard in my spirit, what the Lord was saying to me. And I want to read to you because this is the same notebook that I wrote. I jotted down what the Lord said to me during prayer. And this is what He said to me last year when it came to me so strong, one after another. And you know, I'll say this, and at first you'll say, well, Pastor Prince, that is nothing profound. It sounds so simple. But isn't it like God to share with you simple things and yet life-transforming? Amen. It can be a pivotal point in your life when you hear it, okay? And this is what He said to me. Jesus cannot bear guilt while you are bearing guilt. Jesus, we know He bore our guilt at the cross, right? He became liable for all our sins. But in a sense, the cross is timeless because it's outside time. That's why He can die for people who live before Him, and He died for all of us who live, who would live, amen, chronologically speaking, after Him. But with God, there is no time and space. There's an eternal now. And He's saying to me, that if you want to get the benefit, now I'm illustrating what He said to me in a line, but let me just tell you what He said. Jesus cannot bear guilt while you are bearing guilt. Guilt cannot be in two places. Guilt cannot be in two places. Either it's on Him or it's on you. Either it's on Him or it's on you. If it's on you and you bear it, it cannot be on Him. If it's on Him, then it's not on you. Say, Pastor, this is so simple. And listen, where guilt is, there can be no restoration. If guilt is on Him, then restoration is on you. If He took your guilt, amen, restoration is coming your way. And when He shared this with me, straight away, you know, I'm reminded of the five offerings. All the five offerings in the book of Leviticus typify that one offering of Christ at the cross. It takes five Levitical offerings to show us what happened to Jesus at the cross. Of course, one of them, meal offering, actually refers to His entire life. Okay, but the rest refers to that one act of Christ on that cross. And it's called, I'm going to focus on the guilt offering. The guilt offering. In many translations, it calls it guilt offering. The Hebrew word is asham. Guilt offering. So there's a guilt offering. So first of all, there's a burnt offering. And then there is a meal offering. There is a peace offering. There is a sin offering. And then there is a guilt offering. Now the guilt offering says it like this. In Leviticus 6, it says here, talking about the asham, which is the guilt offering. If you have sinned in any of these ways, you are guilty. You must give back whatever you stole or the money you took by extortion or the security deposit or the lost property you found or anything obtained by swearing falsely. You must make restitution or restoration by paying the full price. Paying what? The full price plus an additional 20%. To the person you have harmed. So in other words, 100, full price is 100% plus 20%. So it's 120% to the person you have harmed. On the same day, you must present a guilt offering. So this is actually the procedure for the guilt offering or asham. Amen. The last offering mentioned in Leviticus, the first one again, burnt offering, meal offerings, peace offering. We have the sin offering, and then we have the guilt offering. In our King James, it says trespass offering. Actually, the word there is guilt. Guilt offering. Very interesting because we have a sin offering already. Right? We have a sin offering or trespass offering. We already have a sin offering. The fourth one in Leviticus. Why should there be a guilt offering? Because many a times we feel guilty. Not just that. Because it's a real guilt that happens when you know you have done something wrong. The Bible says the only way to get rid of it back in the Old Testament is to pay back someone that you have stolen from, extorted, deceived, or whatever. You need to pay back and repair the damage with 100% value of the thing that you have stolen or robbed him of. And not only that, it says you must add 20% to it. So in other words, you must give 120%. Amen. Now, did God talk about this just for during that time? But look at what happened at the cross. Jesus took the place of the one who has trespassed, who has sinned, right? Jesus took the place as the one who has done wrong. Amen. Extorted all the lists that's mentioned here in Leviticus 6. Jesus took the place. He took your place and my place. Instead of us being there on that cross, He took our place. We did the wrong. We did the extorting. We did everything. So He took our place. By the same token, He becomes liable for all the wrong things that we have done. In other words, He will be the one to restore 120%. And God designed all this, my friend, to be so. Hallelujah. You see, because the Bible actually tells us this, that He said, Jesus said in one of the Messianic Psalms, it says in Psalm 69, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head." Now, this first part here is in reference to Jesus. How do we know it's a Messianic verse referring to Jesus? Because this verse was quoted by Jesus Himself in the upper room, Last Supper. In John 15, Jesus says, "But this happened," Jesus talking here, "but this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." They hated me without a cause. Where was this written from? Taken from? From Psalm 69, "They that hate me without a cause." And notice the last part, "Then I restored that which I took not away." Jesus says, "I restored that which I took not away." I took the place of the guilty one. I became liable for their sins. Therefore, I have to be the one to restore. So my friend, how that works out, but what the Lord said to me, and because I understand about the guilt offering, so when God said, I'm going to repeat this again. He said, He cannot bear guilt while you are bearing guilt. Guilt cannot be in two places. Either it's on Him or it's on you. If it's on you and you bear it, you experience it, you justify yourself why you feel guilty. I don't care whether you believe in the gospel of grace or whether you heard the teachings about the righteousness of God. But if you bear it, if you are feeling guilty, friend, then it's not on Him as far as you are concerned. It's on you. So if it's on you and you bear it, it cannot be on Him. If it's on Him, then it's not on you. In other words, guilt cannot be in two places. That's what the Lord said to me. Where guilt is, the Lord said, where guilt is, there can be no restoration. As you can see, the guilt offering, there is restoration. 120% restoration. And that's the reason why Jesus at the cross accomplished so much more than what Adam has done in bringing the curse and death into the human race. What Jesus did is much more. It's mentioned 5 times in the book of Romans. What Jesus did is much more. That's why, you know, if Adam's sin caused all of us to become sinners, then much more Jesus' righteousness, that one act of righteousness at the cross, made all of us righteous. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. It's much more. If today a sinner, by what Adam did, a sinner cannot, by doing good, make himself a non-sinner. He's still a sinner. That means what Adam did is so strong that a sinner cannot change his status by doing good, by being kind, by, you know, pulling him, you know, himself by his bootstraps, doing his best. No, he cannot change. The only way for a sinner to be translated out of his state of a sinner to becoming a saint, a child of God, a new creation, is by being born again. And that's from Jesus' righteousness, right? So why do we feel like with one act, we've lost our position as righteous before God? When actually, all the good things you did when you were a sinner cannot change the state of your sinnerhood. If I can say it that way. What makes you think today, just because you failed here or there, you have sinned even, right? That has changed your position as righteous before God. No, sin is wrong. But knowing this will cause you to reign over your sin. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the Lord says, where guilt is, there can be no restoration. Now, if guilt is on Him, then restoration is on you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So what happens when we fail? You know, you don't have to look far to realize, you know, your failures, right? Every day, sometimes it brings fresh reminders that we are so weak in and of ourselves. But friend, listen carefully. And the flesh is still in us. And I think that God leaves us with the flesh, even though after we are born again, to humble us, to always remind us of our need for Him. Or else we are so, you know, we are people that they always feel like after one victory, we are strong now. Amen. And we're not going to fall. No, friend, the flesh is the flesh and the flesh is always there. Right? So you have a propensity to sin. You don't have to look far to see your failures, even mentally. Even sometimes when you are sleeping. Amen. Even when you're awake, you see so much more. Right? And those solicitations to sin, that feeling, that anger that rises, that bitterness, that depression and all that, you know, even being fearful and worried and all that are all sins to God. Wow, that's the case. You know, we talk about the big ones. But God talks about all these things in the Bible. Even being fearful and unbelieving are the two groups that go to the lake of fire. So friend, how do we overcome sin? No, friend. Today, if you know this, it gives you a fresh hope and confidence in God. Because you know why? We are full of weaknesses, full of sins. But it's our title to what Jesus did. As long as we don't receive the guilt, amen, we look to the cross. And every time we fail, whether in thought, word, or deed, amen, look to the cross and say, Lord, I thank you that you bore this guilt. Amen. You bore the judgment of it. You bore the guilt of it. And I thank you, Lord, I'm freed from guilt. Don't condemn yourself and start declaring, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You may have a bondage in a certain area, but the more you confess that, the more you will reign over it. And not only, don't stop there. Remember this. Because of that sin, now you are entitled. I say that because I based on scripture to 120% restoration from the Lord. And the Lord designed this whole thing to be so. In other words, every time you fail, it's a chance for you to receive 120% restoration. Amen. You know, if Adam never sinned, let me put it this way, if Adam never fall, and this is beyond, you know, many of people's comprehension, but, you know, God's glory will just be creatorial. But today, the Redeemer's crown is on Jesus. Hallelujah. Redemption is greater than creation. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says that if a man loses, he's been robbed of a cow, you have to restore five cows. Imagine a man who just got robbed of a cow and then the culprit is caught. Now he has to restore five cows. I can just see him at night telling his wife, you know, honey, actually that old cow was growing old. I'm so glad we got five young cows now. He has become a gainer. Let me say this reverently, all right? You can understand this. God has become a gainer. Not only Jesus restored 120% to us, who is the wrong person? Who is the one that's been wrong? God. Jesus restored 120% to God. So on our behalf, Jesus has restored 120% worship, 120% reverence on our behalf. Amen. He did it for us. Amen. 120%. As far as God is concerned, man, He has received all the worship from you, all the reverence from you, all the obedience from you. Amen. And not only to God, but also to us. Every time you sin, you lose something. But now instead of losing something, you actually receive more than before you sin. Understand, we are not for sin, but God has designed the whole thing that where sin increased, grace will superabound. Hallelujah. So right now, because of that failure, the devil should not have tempted you to fall into that area. Now you are entitled to the 120% restoration in that area. Hallelujah. Amen. Or because of your sin, because of your sinful habits or addiction, now a part of you is suffering a disease or sickness or whatever. Now you're entitled to 120% healing and restoration in your body. Not just 100%, 120, hallelujah. And that resolves the confusion some people have. Because deep in their hearts, and I know people ask me this also, you know, sometimes they know that they have blundered, they have committed a sin. And they don't understand that, yeah, they repent of that sin, yes. You know, but it still haunts them. But then they look to Jesus. And usually, there'll come a few days of such, like, you know, answered prayer, good things happening, enjoying the peace of God, like they never had before. When they were, you know, when they were walking with God and all that, they never had those experiences like they have after they fell, after they were restored. They enjoy, it's like they, and I'm not saying do this, so go ahead and sin. Paul didn't say that, but Paul preached enough of this to be misunderstood. Paul says they accuse Paul. Paul said this, they accuse him of saying, let us do evil that good may come. Probably Paul was teaching on this guilt offering. Hallelujah. The guilt offering aspect of our Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Amen. He was probably sharing this that people misunderstand. Paul did say, where sin increased, grace superabounds. And then people say, so you're saying, let us sin more that grace may abound. So Paul says, shall we sin more that grace may abound? May it never be. So in order for them to misunderstand Paul, Paul must have preached very strongly on this. But because of your fall, because of your sin, because of your bondage, because of your addiction, now you're entitled. Look forward for 120% as long as you don't receive the guilt. You know, people think, well, Pastor Prem, feeling guilty is good. No, if you know that Christ bore your guilt, Christ bore your condemnation, He bore it all. Yes, we thank God for it. That's it. Amen. Thank God for it. And declare, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You're honoring what Christ did. Guilt cannot be in two places. Amen. In fact, guilt will doom someone to perpetuate that sin. This is not a theological saying. It's not from the church world. Amen. It's from the mental health professionals, the psychiatrists and all that. They have said this, and I've heard more than one psychiatrist who have said this. Guilt is at the crux of all addictions. Guilt is at the crux of all addiction. The more you feel guilty, you are doomed to repeat that addiction. The more you feel guilty, whether it's smoking pot or watching pornography, and what's the answer, Pastor? Don't feel guilty and continue watching it? No, I'm not saying that. While you're watching it, declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Like the guy says, you know, I sound ridiculous at first. But you know what? That's the way to reign over it. Hallelujah. Because all of a sudden you realize this is not who you are. But it must be a revelation. And the transformation will be, even the desire will go away. Hallelujah. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So every time you fail, instead of despairing, instead of looking for with a fearful expectation of evil in your future, afraid something bad will happen to you or to your children, to your family, start looking to Jesus and thank Him that He became our guilt offering on that cross. And because He became liable for all our sins, and He becomes the one to restore. He's the great restorer. He has restored to God all that we have robbed God of. Amen. And God has received from Jesus much more than what we have robbed Him of. He has received 100% as well as 120%. On top of that, where sin increased, grace superabounds. In the Greek, it is like this. The word huperparisio is like abundance and then some more on top of that. Parisio is already abundance, increase. But huper is on the increase, and on top of it, God heaps some more. Amen. Jesus has given to God on your behalf and my behalf what we have robbed Him of. We have robbed Him of the worship due His name. We have not worshipped Him enough. Amen. We have not loved Him enough. Amen. We have not obeyed Him enough. We have not reverenced him enough. Amen. We have not been intimate with him that he desires so much from us. But you know what? Jesus Christ at the cross became our guilt offering. And for our sakes, on our behalf, he restored to God 120% of our reverence, of 120% of worship and obedience that we could never render to God. And God sets it to your account. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's towards God, because God is the wrong party, but also to us, right? Because he became liable to restore. We have been robbed as well. Amen. We've been robbed by the enemy. We've been robbed by the devil. Amen. Not only we rob God, you see, listen carefully. We become the righteousness of God. We take the place of Jesus. Amen. Jesus took our place at the cross. Now we are the righteous one. You see, the wrong party must restore to the righteous one, right? That's what the Bible says. The law says that. So right now, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. So Jesus has become sin at the cross. Amen. He bore our guilt. So he becomes the one to restore the guilt, the guilty party. See, it's amazing how God designed this whole thing. The guilty party restores to the righteous one. But only if you realize that you are the righteous one. Because even though it's true that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, if you start feeling guilty, it's like saying, God, I don't believe what you said. When you feel guilty, you're imputing sin to yourself that God is not imputing to you. In actuality, you're saying to God, I don't believe your word. Jesus didn't finish the work. You're not satisfied with it. That's why I feel guilty. And Hebrews 10 is all about a conscience free from sin. Amen? A conscience that's free from sin. What does that mean? That means if the price that has been paid is a good price, amen, sin should not be on my conscience. If I have someone that I owe money to, right, and I'm not able to pay him, every time I see him, there's debt on my conscience. I try to avoid him if I can. Why? Because there's debt on my conscience. Why? It's not paid. But supposing someone paid that person on my behalf. Amen? And I was told about it. I was told about it that the person paid. Now, when I see the person, I don't have debt on my conscience. I can look at him in the eye. But more has happened, actually. What Jesus did for us is more than just paying my creditor. Right? You know what? Jesus has overpaid him on your behalf and my behalf. Instead of like, let's say I owe $10,000. Jesus came along and gave him $1,000,000. That's in effect, even $1,000,000 can't describe it, but Jesus gave him $1,000,000. What I owe the guy, I'm not able to pay. I'm not able to pay the 10,000. But Jesus told him this. I know he's not able to pay the 10,000, but on his behalf, I'm restoring. All right. And when God restores, it's always greater than the fullness of what is supposed to be restored. He gave 120%. So imagine, all right, the guy gets $1,000,000. Okay? So now, listen, now that guy has become a gainer because of me. Because of me. So I can look at him in the eye and I say, hey, how about a good trip, man? And these kind of places where it's not fancy. I want to go to a nice 5-star restaurant, a Michelin star restaurant. Come on, man, you are paying. Why? Because of me, he's rich. Amen. He has been enriched because of me. Can you understand this? Now, another thing is this. If someone has paid your debt, okay, but you do not know about it, is it still paid? Is it still paid? Yes, it's paid. But if you do not know about it, you're not cognizant of it, will it benefit you or will you still feel guilty? Will there still be debt on your conscience when you see your creditor? Will there be debt on your conscience? Yes. But the reality is that he has been paid. And he has been paid $1,000,000 because of you. But ignorance, or if someone come and tell you, you know, that person has been paid, all right, so you don't have to worry about your debt anymore. And I don't believe the messenger. If you don't believe what I'm sharing today, it's the same thing. The effect will be what? Even though it's paid, if you don't believe the messenger, as far as you are concerned, it's as good as it's not paid. You still experience the turmoil, the frustration, the depression when you think about your state, You're not able to go from the land of debt to the land of even, from the land of even to the land of plenty, because you're still in debt. You're depressed. But actually the price is paid. Not only paid, that man has been enriched because of you. So we come to God boldly because, in a sense, you can understand this, and this is reality. God has been enriched by redemption. God has reaped a rich harvest of praise, glory, and honor like no other fields than He ever reaped from creation. The fields of redemption bring more delight to God than the fields of creation. You know, redemption is greater than creation. I know people are going to creation trying to find the solution for their disease and trying to find food or some supplements that they can take from nature, from the ground. But we must not forget, my friend, the ground has been cursed ever since man's sin. Even the good food and all that is not as good as it has been. Amen. It is now fallen. So our trust cannot be in creation. By all means, take your vitamins. By all means, take your medicine. By all means, you know, listen to the doctor and all that. But complete redemption is our hope. Amen. So Jesus accomplished redemption on our behalf. Amen. Therein lies my hope for my health, for my well-being, for my peace of mind, for my walk with God. Amen. Everything that I desire from God, therein lies it. I don't look to nature, I look to redemption. Praise the Lord. And it is from redemption that God has received a greater glory. Amen? From redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, we don't realize when Jesus died on the cross, His death, it met every attribute of God. Justice. Amen? God's righteousness. Unbending righteousness. All that, when Jesus died on the cross, He shed His blood. It fully met all the requirements of a holy God, of righteousness, holiness from you and I. Jesus' death has fully met that today God is righteous in making us righteous. In other words, if we believe on Christ and God doesn't make us righteous, it'll be unrighteous for God. And I say that reverently. God designed it to be so. God is righteous in declaring you and I righteous. Hallelujah. So what happens, friend, when you fall into sin? Do you hold yourself to it and say, oh man, you know, I should have done that. And oh man, oh God, please forgive me, Lord. Oh God, please forgive me. And you're feeling guilty all the time. Now the words are okay, forgive me. I'm not knocking the words, but the feeling, what are you having? What are you feeling? You're feeling guilt. You're feeling condemnation. Instead of declaring there is therefore now no condemnation. And listen, my friend, this won't produce licentiousness. Like some people think, well, you would tell people when you sin, confess there's no condemnation. Confess I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes, friend, because Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It is only, look at the order. It's only when you receive no condemnation that you are empowered to go and sin no more. But the church has it backwards. Go and sin no more first. Let me see your life. Then we won't condemn you. That's not Jesus' way. Jesus told the woman who was caught in the act of adultery hours ago, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, when you receive the gift of no condemnation, while you are still in your sin, it will empower you. This truth must be preached in such a way that people will sense the no condemnation, that they will realize how much God loves them, how perfect the work of Jesus at the cross to remove all their sins, that it will empower them to reign in life. Hallelujah. Amen. And that applies also to the area of health and healing, provision. You know, when you fail in certain areas, you Lord, you know, and the voice come and say, you know what, now you can expect bad things to happen to you. Even your car will not function as well. You know, things will go wrong in your workplace. There'll be no promotion for you. There'll be, you know, just because there's a disfavor for you now because you have failed. You know what you did yesterday. You know what you did last night. Instead of turning to Jesus, you wallow in that. Now, guilt is on you, right? Guilt cannot be in two places. No, you got to look to Jesus and say, Lord, you took this guilt. You became my guilt offering. And all the while, you're falling in love with Him more and more. The more you see this, amen? And then you receive, because of this, I receive 120% restoration. Now you are entitled to that. Praise God. I receive that in Jesus' name. I receive 120% prosperity in my area of work. Yeah, believe God for that. Because whatever area that has been robbed, that's the area that the restoration will happen. If the devil has robbed you, right, of health, that's, believe God for healing. Amen. If the doctor has given you a negative report, you go to Jesus and say, Lord, I thank you that you restore. If the devil says, it's because of your sin, it's because of your sin. Instead of feeling guilty about what he said, say, Lord, I thank you that you bore this sin in your body. You became liable for it, Lord. And you took my sin. And now I receive your restoration. I receive 120% healing, long life, and health for every cell, every organ, every fiber of my being in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive. Say, I receive 120% healing. Amen. Into my body right now in Jesus' name. And the area that was weak will function even better than the 100% you had before you were robbed of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Even right now, I want to pray for you. I'm seeing God's restoration already happening. Praise the Lord, my friend. So shake it off, okay? Shake it off. Don't bear it. You know, the favor of God cannot flow when you're heaping condemnation on yourself. Many years ago, God gave me this line. Also, it became one of my series that I did under this title, Condemnation Kills. God said to me, condemnation kills. The Spirit gives life. I've not even come to verse 2 yet. The next verse after it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. It says, for the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. The law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, my friend, has set you free from the law of sin and death. But how come, Pastor Prince, that is so, you know, that even a common flu defeats me. I'm flat on my back. I'm not, you know, why is this so? Because I believe before verse 2 is verse 1. You know, 2 comes after 1. Okay? And verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. I believe that every time we take a tinge of condemnation, there's a consequence. Amen? We are saying that God lied about what he said, about what Jesus did, right? Every time we heap condemnation or guilt on ourselves, we have to pay the consequence, amen? When you feel guilty, you feel like pain, right? In fact, the English word for guilt is this word. It comes from the etymology, comes from this old English G-Y-L-T, guilt, sin, moral defect, failure of duty. But it also comes from this old English word, gilden, which means paying for something to discharge a debt. So the word guilty, every time you feel guilty, you want to pay, right? So your body is so smart. You know, the genes that God has put in us is designed in such a way that if you feel like you want to pay, you know, I've done something wrong, okay, I have to pay for it. You know, you punish yourself. Your genes will manufacture disease. You know, doctors talk about autoimmune disorders when the immune system fights against its own tissues, its own body. Amen? That's autoimmune diseases. Right? And that can happen. You are fighting against yourself. You are walking civil war because you're condemning yourself. Every time you condemn yourself, your body actually designed such a way, you know, it's so intelligent, it says things like this. Not intelligent to the point that it has the wisdom of God. You know, intelligent like it's able to relay the message that you want to relay. Amen? To all the cells. Okay, he wants to punish himself. Let's create a disease. Amen. Because the word no condemnation, condemnation there is damnatory sentence. It is condemnation that comes as a result, all the results of judgment. When Adam sinned, the result of judgment is weakness, sickness, disease, growing old, and dying, right? All that happened, of course, the first immediate effect was spiritual death. And all that happened when Adam sinned, all the results, the word condemnation is not just condemnation itself, but the idea of the results, all the results are all there, and there's not a single one left in your life and my life in Christ Jesus. We need to declare this because the Bible says the spirit of faith is I believe and therefore I speak. We need to declare every day. I thank you, Father. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Say it after me. Amen. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Now say this. The law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. Say it again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. You see, sickness and disease is all under the law of sin and death, right? You're freed from it. I'm freed from it. Now, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Does the man sin? Is there sin in his life? Some people say, well, he's a man that is righteous, that is walking holy. But friend, if that is so, why would God impute sin to him? It'd be unjust for God to impute sin to someone who is walking holy, who is not sinning, right? That verse means something only for people who are not perfect, right? People who are still failing here and there. Amen. We're not looking to fail, but we still fail here and there. Amen. So it says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And by the way, the word shall not or will not, it's actually from the two Greek words, strengthening the denial. It's a word combined together, ou, me, means a strong negative. God will in no way impute sin to you. He will in no way impute sin to me. Blessed is the man. Now we can feel the blessedness. Wow. How blessed is the man to whom, when he fails, when he sins, God does not impute sin to him. Does that make you want to sin? No, it makes you want to fall in love with him even more and live for his glory. Amen. But the truth remains, blessed is the man, you and I, to whom the Lord will not impute sin. But friend, what if you impute sin to yourself? What if you impute sin to yourself? Then likewise, what follows close on the heels of sin is weakness, sickness, depression, addiction, all that will come because you're imputing sin to yourself. These things will be imputed. You're imputing it to yourself as well. But friend, if you agree with God that God will never impute sin to you, then by the same token, whatever comes as a result of sin, sickness, weakness, addiction, condemnation, death, you will not accept. Amen. Because you know why? It cannot come in your life because you are the man that God has blessed and God will never impute sin to you. Therefore, He will not impute sickness, disease, death to you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Are you blessed? Are you blessed by the word of God today? I pray that you have been blessed. And I want to pray for those of you who are having challenges in your body right now. You may have received a bad report from the doctor and all that. But first and foremost, remember this truth, that you cannot receive healing in a spirit of guilt under a cloud of condemnation. One of these days I'll share about how condemnation stops the active favor of God in your life. You're still on favor ground, but it stops it. Amen. As far as you are concerned. So right now, to receive that healing, amen, declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Say it again. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Father, I thank you. There is no condemnation at all for me and for my family in Christ Jesus. I am that blessed man. Say it. I am that blessed man. I am that blessed woman to whom the Lord will never, ever impute sin. Thank you, Father. And in the name of Jesus, I receive your healing right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pronounce your body healed right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command that spirit of infirmity to loose your body and depart from your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, I speak restoration of health, renewal of strength, and youthfulness in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Now start doing what you cannot do before. You can't bend your arm. Amen. You can't bend your back. Amen. Start doing it right now. Amen. See what the Lord has done. I believe many have been touched. Many have been healed. Amen. Not because of Pastor Prince. It's the name of Jesus. It is He who has restored 120% healing upon you. Receive it right now. Say, I receive right now 120% healing for this part of my body. Amen. Just receive that right now. For that part of my body, I receive 120% healing. In other words, not only will you be healed, you have functions and utilities in that area that you never dream of. Amen. In other words, restoration is always greater than the previous Amen. Okay, so right now in Jesus' name, if you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ, I believe you are ready right now to put your trust in Christ. And in one fell swoop, you can be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen. From the power of Satan to the power of God. Amen. Right now in Jesus' name, you can be born again. Amen. By putting your trust in Christ. And I know that you've heard the gospel just now. So right now, that response in your heart, even your brain, your mind is saying a lot of things that you don't understand. Amen. It's trying to reason away some of the truths that you know in your heart. Because you see, your heart is deeper than your head. Your head is superficial. Your reasoning is superficial. Amen. Reasoning goes by facts that may not be eternal. Amen. So right now, the truth has reached your heart. The truth of the gospel. Respond by praying this prayer to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. You died on the cross for all my sins. You became my sin offering, my guilt offering on that cross. And I thank you that the blood you shed has satisfied the righteous requirements of a holy God. I thank you that you have cleansed me from every sin through your precious blood. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, you rose from the dead when I was declared righteous by God. Father God, I thank you. You are now my Father. I am your Son. In Jesus' name, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, now and forever. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Ooh, someone just receiving the 120% healing right now. It just manifested, I think, in the area of the stomach. And you can feel it right now, the warm. And you go back to the doctor and he won't find the condition anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your feet if you can. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This coming week, the Lord bless you and your families with the blessings of Abraham, the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. The Lord keep you, preserve and protect you and your loved ones throughout this week from the COVID-19 virus, from every sickness and disease, from every danger, harm, accident, from all the powers of darkness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord make his face to shine on you. Amen. Shining, beaming on you. Amen. And the Lord grant to you and your families his wonderful shalom, health, wholeness, and peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. I got so much more to share with you. Until next week, God bless you.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Dear friends, thank you for joining me today. If you are troubled or anxious about a situation, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and is more than willing to give you your breakthrough. He wants you free from stress, worries, and anxious thoughts and enjoying his peace and supply. My friend, to help you experience victory over stress and anxiety, my team has created for the very first time an audio devotional packed with 28 bite-sized inspirational truths. Every day for the next 28 days, you can start your day with a powerful, faith-building truth that reminds you of the Lord's love and how He's constantly providing for your every need. You'll find fresh hope and faith rising in your heart and the Lord's peace and rest guarding your mind. My friend, you do not have to live in discouragement, anxiety, or fear anymore. Instead, you can listen your way effortlessly to a confident expectation of good and see the Lord turn your troubles around. So do request this month's resource. I know it'll be such a great comfort and blessing to you. Thank you for your love and support. I'm praying for the Lord's grace and peace to be multiplied in every area of your life. God bless you.
Day 10, freed by the blood from every curse.
Every time you have a thought that hurts you, that makes you agonized, every time you're fearful, a fearful thought makes you afraid when you're lying down in the middle of the night and that thorn pricks your mind, and that's the time to remember Jesus bore your crown of thorns so that you don't have to. He freed you from it.
This month, as a thank you for your gift of support to the ministry, you will receive the Win Your Battle package, which includes Joseph's first ever audio devotional and his book, No More Mind Games. And for a specific gift, you will also receive Win the Fight, How to Overcome the Enemy's Tactics, 4-DVD album. Get powerful insights on how to live free from fear when you know that God has already won the victory for you.
There is an enemy out there. Long before he can steal from you, before he can kill, before he can destroy, he accuses. He wants you to think that your problem is uniquely your own because you are a strange person. So what's the defense? The defense is in the gospel. We confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
Get the Win Your Battle package for your gift of support to the ministry today. Call us toll free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.